This is Kilmeade and Friends. Thanks so much for tuning in. 1-866-408-7669. A lot going on politically as the president continues to reel. He's lost 34 points with the American Jewish community. He's lost 12 points among the Latino community because of what's happening with immigration. The BP, there could be some breakthrough in terms of capping the well in the Gulf, and we all keep our fingers crossed for that. But it's been 90 days. The president's had a relatively free ride. If you look at what Bush had to deal with the Iraq War, when that was harder than thought, and when you look at what happened with Katrina. Having said all that, the administration does have another victory to trumpet, and that is Scott Brown has delivered financial reform for Wall Street. And therefore, Republicans who held out now have lost Susan Collins, Olympia Snowe, and Scott Brown. So even with the death of Senator Byrd, they have enough votes to pass reform. So you could get an argument that the administration has passed health care reform, got a huge stimulus package, and finance reform. But here's the pushback. It all sucks. It doesn't help us. Who's happy about this? What, are we keeping a total on passage of legislation? It's not helping this country. It's not turning the economy around. And worse things worse. And I think we are truly in a war on terror. I know I'm not supposed to say that. But we're not even allowed to say Islamic extremist anymore because it upsets Muslims that don't want to kill us and makes them want to kill us. So we use things like extremists, radicals, but don't even though they're trying to kill us because in the name of their religion. It doesn't mean all Muslims are bad, but it does mean that Al-Qaeda are all Muslims. Joining us now to talk about what is happening with the American Muslim community and the world community and what America is doing in it and how it's viewed is the founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, Dr. Zahudi Jasser. Dr. Jasser, welcome to Kilmeade and Friends.
Thanks for having me, Brian. It's nice to be with you. I
just enjoy your perspective because it's easy for us to talk about the how we're viewed by the Islamic community, but I'm not Islamic. Or people on the outside who scratch their heads saying, what's getting these people so angry? Let me ask you something, Dr. Jasser. Is it right or is it insulting to say Islamic extremists?
I think it's right. You know, this is the issue, is that I find it condescending that people think that somehow the Muslim community can be pigeonholed into one group and there's no diversity of political ideas, diversity about nationalism, diversity about the role of religion and the separation of mosque and state. And right now, those groups that have been empowered by petrodollars over the last few decades to half a century are basically becoming the de facto spokespeople for the community. And those of us that have separated our faith from our nationalism and from our American identity are being left sort of in the margins. And many of us, if you go to the Middle East, you'll see groups like the Muslim Brotherhood that are all about mixing Islam with politics and Sharia into government. There is huge debates going on there. They're not representative of all the Muslims there. And there is a civil war of ideas. While in the West, we think that we're so much about political correctness that really, since Muslims are a minority, they must all think alike and act alike, and we don't want to offend them. When in fact, internally in the mosques and in our groups, there's a lot of debate and there's a lot of reform that has to happen. And yes, we need to be clear and say that our war is not against Islam, it's not against Muslims, but you know what? There's a civil war within Islam, and there is an Islam, not the Islam, but there is an Islam that is a threat. The Islam of the Taliban, the Islam of Al-Qaeda, the Islam of the Wahhabis of Saudi Arabia, or the Islam of the Iranian theocrats. Those are all threats to our security and our sovereignty as Western nations and secular democracies. And unless we can be clear on that, we're going to continue to marginalize any contest of ideas that we need to have.
Well, one thing that's happening right now, and it's symbolism, I get that. Mosques throughout this country, they're going to happen. They should happen. Peaceful Muslims, why not have a place of worship? I don't, you know, half these religions, I pass by churches and buildings. I don't ever even heard of half these religions. But I just think it's personally provocative to me to see a mosque being built in right where the World Trade Center once stood, just a block away, at which time in a building where the landing gear of the airplane was actually found to have destroyed the first two floors, which was once the Burlington clothing factory. Do you view me as overreacting?
Absolutely not. I can't tell you myself, as a devout Muslim who's conservative, prays five times a day, wants to raise my kids to be pious Muslims. My family has built three different mosques around the country, from Wisconsin to Arizona, and I believe in that our structures of faith that we build in this country are part of the cornerstones of our democracy. Having said that, 9/11, ground zero, was the beginning of a war of ideas, the beginning of a war against radical Islamists. And to allow a not only a mosque, this super mega structure, this ostentatious greater than $100 million structure to be built there, I think from a Muslim perspective, most Muslims I've talked to think it's a terrible idea. This is not the way to win friends and influence people. It's not a way to let the Americans know what side we're on and where our priorities are. It's not about teaching 9/11 and Ground Zero and the families that suffered there. I don't want to learn a lesson and a lecture about Islamic pluralism. They want to see that we want to defeat the same enemy, and I don't think, let alone the fact that, you know, I've got concerns about where the money for this thing's coming from. It's not coming from domestic interests. They seem to be looking to get money from abroad, and the ideas they're talking about are all platitudes. They're not about counterterrorism and defeating the enemy. It's just simple platitudes that I think are actually dangerous. So from all perspectives, it is just the wrong idea and sends the wrong message.
Pearl Harbor, can you imagine a Japanese fascist learning center across the street from Pearl Harbor? And people say, well, is Japan's our ally? What's the big deal? Oh, it's a huge deal. People lost their lives there. The Japanese live amongst us as great Americans. But for this group at this time in this period, that's not the way it was.
And one of the things I think that's really important, I saw an op-ed in the New York Times and elsewhere that said, well, how many blocks is okay? Is it two blocks, four blocks? And then they had the temerity to say, well, there's strip joints near there, et cetera. So what's the big deal? The big deal is the fact that the people building that center are doing it because it's next to Ground Zero. Their intention is to change the narrative about what 9/11 was. So it's not about the proximity. It's about what their intention is, which is to try to change the narrative, which I think is very wrong-headed. We should be, and the reason we're losing this war, by the way, we're losing it. If you look at last year, in the last 12 months, we've had more attacks attempted against our homeland than at any other year since 9/11. So somewhere, the message is not getting across that we need to influence Muslim youth towards Western democracies rather than towards Sharia law, and this is certainly not a step in that right direction.
Yeah, so right now, here's Mayor Bloomberg. He sides with the radical extremists right now. He's talking about, because we're curious, people like me are curious about why a group that had $18,000 in their account has $100 million to refurbish and build this building and rebuild this historic building, this landmark in New York that's 152 years old. He says it's un-American to question the funding. Listen.
The government should never, never be in the business of telling people how they should pray or where they can pray.
I mean, let's hear the other cut.
I don't think we're going to go and start investigating funding sources for religious organizations or vetting people who preach or pray in religious organizations. That just is so out of character for what this nation stands for and the way we conduct ourselves.
But haven't we looked into organizations and their funding and where their funding was coming to fund Islamic charities to see if it's coming from Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda? Why isn't that within our national security interests?
I think he's completely, Brian, he's out to lunch. I mean, 6 months ago, the feds raided, I think, $500 million of Iranian interest in this country, some of which included mosques and Islamic organizations around the country, and no one even hiccuped that that was inappropriate. We're fighting an enemy that is using a banner and a guise of religion for a globalist political ideology and to try to reincarnate a caliphate which spreads Islamic states around the world. And for us to say that this is not realistic and wrap ourselves around the First Amendment, which I think is very important. We don't want to change our First Amendment. However, we also can't be naive. If you talk to Homeland Security, I think you'll find a completely different message in that, no, we should not stop the building of these structures, but he's saying not to vet them. I mean, public vetting and free speech to talk about what's taught, I think we should be videotaping sermons. I mean, in England, you had an undercover mosque project that had huge impact that showed what was actually being taught on how many of the mosques were actually teaching subversion and counter-state ideology to try to put Sharia law into place. And nobody shut those down, but what they did was they exposed the ideas that are being taught there. And I think Mayor Bloomberg is actually stepping significantly in the wrong direction, and actually a different direction than most of our security apparatuses are.
It's people that say, oh, well, that's unconstitutional. Well, is it unconstitutional to be blown up and be naive and use your constitution against us? Let me ask you, Dr. Jasser, and by the way, people just tuning in, you're not just a caller, you're an esteemed guest. You are the president. You're the founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Now, Dr. Jasser, people who are Catholics like me, or a lot of the calls, Jewish, Catholic, Christian, Protestant, whatever it is, haven't read the Quran like you have studied it. Now, we like to say that it was something that Muhammad liked to do, is conquer a land and build a mosque right on top. And they use an example as Mecca and in Jerusalem and in Spain. Is that correct? Is that based on fact?
Well, you know, I don't go that far in the fact that it is the facts that Al-Qaeda uses. It is the facts that they tried to use an aggressive narrative of their version of what the Prophet Muhammad did as being something that they want to recreate, the Salafist or the more fundamentalist version of what the Prophet did and how supremacist he was is certainly not the version I was taught. I was taught a version of Islam in which the narrative of the Prophet Muhammad was one in which there was no justification for any offensive type of war. There was no religious justification for any type of forced conversions or any of that. And this is the civil war that has to happen. Is there going to be a pluralistic rediscussion of what the Islamic history is, and can we bring it into synergy with 21st century principles of freedom in the West? Can we redescribe the narrative of the Prophet to be one that's in the 21st century, and that's part of reform that has to happen? Or are we stuck with the versions that are out of the 15th century, stories that came out of the 12th, 13th century versions that some of us say are just wrong and incorrectly written? Yes, Spain was, in fact, in many ways supremacist. They treated Jews and Christians differently than Muslims. But you have to also put it in context in that, yeah, the 13th century, it was certainly more palatable for Jews to live there than it was in Europe. So, yeah, I would never want to live back in Spain, but certainly if I was alive in the 13th century, I would rather live there than in Europe. So this is the problems when Muslims get out of touch with where the American mindset is all of a sudden little pieces of history here and there start to come back and hit them in the face, and they don't realize that the message they're actually sending is right. One of the same supremacy.
Hey, I want you to take Jerry's call in Milwaukee. Jerry, I want you to meet Dr. Jasser, founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Jerry, you have a different take on prohibiting the mosque.
Right. I probably believe that the mosque shouldn't be built, that the people building the mosque shouldn't do it there. But I don't believe that, one, the government should have the right or the ability to decide that a mosque shouldn't be built, whatever, you know, a mosque in general, because I think that violates the establishment clause to say one kind of religious institution shouldn't be built. And if we're going to say a mosque can be built because by the World Trade Center, then I think you would have to make the argument if someone commits a violent act in the name of Christianity, that a church couldn't be built, and that would be wrong too. You couldn't prove, you wouldn't want to do that.
Hey, Jerry, don't we always deal with different neighborhoods that have different restrictions on things that are being built? And can't we always rule in our neighborhood organizations that a house should be so big or they can't have aluminum siding? So why in this situation can't New York say, I see the towers that killed almost 3,000 people on 9/11. I see the fact the landing gear was in this building. It's not within our local interests to build it. The answer is no.
Well, the zoning board, any zoning decisions have to abide by the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution violates establishment violations of the establishment.
So you'd
clause.
Like to see it there, Jerry?
I'm not saying I would like to see it there. I'm saying that the government cannot make a decision to say that it prohibited. Just because what I like and like not, that doesn't matter if the Constitution states something. The Constitution will not allow the government to prohibit the
right.
building of a mosque.
Well,
if a church can be built.
Dr. Jasser, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I think it's important here to separate two issues. One is, you're exactly right, even the Fair Use Act about the use of land for religious facilities is very protective to that freedom, and nobody's saying that they shouldn't have that. The mosque in this building is going to be something like one room, one large prayer hall. The rest of it is swimming pools and auditoriums and other things, so I think it's false to say that this is being built under the guise of a Muslim prayer center, when in fact it's a huge institution that they're building, number one. Number two, nowhere in the Constitution does religious freedom get interpreted that foreign agents can come in and build building and structures in our country. So it's one thing if this was all domestic money, then, you know, it would be a lot different issue. But if this is going to be built through foreign investments, Sure we can protect our security from structures that may become platforms for teaching a legal system different from our American legal system.
Jerry, thanks for the call. And on top of that, too, you also have to answer the question where this money's coming from. It's got to be logic. I mean, the mob just can't start buying 30 Rockefeller Center. They can't walk around and start buying these buildings. Sooner or later, they got to be accountable. When they were asked to open up their books, this group has $18,000. Where do they get the $100 million? The mayor says it's unconstitutional to ask where they're getting their money from? Oh, really? Okay, fine. That makes no sense. Dr. Jaster, thanks so much. How do we support a peaceful Islamic organization like yours?
Give us the opportunity to get the other ideas heard. Our website is AIFdemocracy.org, AIFdemocracy.org, and there are more Muslims against this than you would think. So thank you for having us.
I know. Doctor, thanks so much. You're always welcome here, and we hope to have you back. When we come back, your phone calls. This is Kilmeade and Friends.
What you see is what you get. It's Kilmeade and Friends.